But right now, I'm going to keep you nice and warm because when you read what the temperatures were, journey through fire and ice, shattered dreams above the Arctic Circle, Deanne Burch, I would not be surprised if you've already been approached and someone has said, you know, we've got to make this book into a movie. It would be a great movie, I think. Hi, Deanne.
Hi, Steve. How are you today?
I'm good. You have roots in Chicago because you and Tiger, and you'll tell me who Tiger was in a moment, began your story in Chicago, didn't you?
Well, really, we began our story in Canada, but, our first year of married life, or first, 7 months of married life was spent while he was a student at the University of Chicago.
But Chicago was nothing. So we just got off the phone here with Judy Tenuta, who was telling us, I went to school at the University of Illinois, Chicago, and I remember how cold it was. That's not cold, is it?
No, not really. No, actually, I did find it very cold, but I didn't know what I was getting myself into in the next few months.
All right, so how did that happen where you and Tiger ended up with, living in an Eskimo community in the book, I don't know whether to say Eskimo, Native American. You didn't live in an igloo, but you sure lived above the Arctic Circle with them, didn't you?
That's correct. We lived above the Arctic Circle. It was 83 miles above the Arctic Circle, on a barrier island, which is now, by the way, going to be underwater in 2025. So the village that we lived in will no longer exist.
Wow.
But we went up there because my husband was writing his thesis, was doing a study for his thesis, for his PhD thesis.
And that was to really live with and immerse yourself, in order to do that, this Native American population, as if you were
that
one of them.
Totally correct.
Yeah.
Went up there. They often refer to themselves as Eskimos when we were up there, but they now, I've referred to them as Inuits a lot in the book, but they actually refer to themselves as the Inupiaq people.
I don't know if I'll do that because I'm not sure I can say that. So the people that you lived with, the Inuits, first of all, even getting there was no easy thing. And once you got there, what environment did you live in? What was it? How was it?
Well, we got there, I think it was 4 flights away during that time. I don't know, it could be even now. But we got there and by plane. And once we were on the island, the only way of getting off, of course, was by dog team if the water was frozen, or by plane. If the water wasn't frozen, we could go by boat down to Kotzebue, which was the nearest village that had an airport, or we could fly down, of course. And then from Kotzebue, we could fly out to probably just about any place we want. No, to Anchorage. And from Anchorage, we could fly out to just about any place we wanted to go.
Now, you didn't live in an igloo. That really didn't happen. But I wouldn't call your life luxurious.
No, our life was not luxurious. We lived in a house that was probably maybe 700 square feet, maybe not even that big. Our bedroom was only big enough to hold a twin bed, nothing else. Our living room was tiny. We had a rocking chair and a couch and a desk in it. And our kitchen was tiny, too. It had an oil stove, a little table, which I used for my desk and to cook on, and also an oil tank to hold our water because, of course, we had no electricity, no running water, no plumbing, of course. So we had an oil tank to hold the water, and we also had a wash tub that we kept in the kitchen, but it was used for me to wash the clothes. And for us also to take a bath if we ever had enough water.
What was the best part and the worst part of living in that environment? We'll also talk about the hardship of, it was, forget about wind chill. It was 30, 40 degrees below zero without any wind chill. We'll get those answers when we come back. The book is called Journey Through Fire and Ice, Shattered Dreams Above the Arctic Circle.
You're as cold as ice. You're willing to sacrifice our love.
Steve Dale's Other World on WGN. It's 2:18. Journey Through Fire and Ice, Shattered Dreams Above the Arctic Circle. Deanne Birch is the author of that book, who lived way above the Arctic Circle on an isolated island because her husband, Tiger, yeah, that's his name, appropriate, I suppose, doing his dissertation about that very topic, what it's like to live like the Eskimos or Inuits. And, well, we're describing what it was like. What was the best thing about it, if there was a best thing about it? I suppose it wasn't middle of winter.
I think the best thing about it was the midnight sun. I loved the time that we lived up there in the midnight sun. You could be up at 2 o'clock in the morning and walking around the village with some of the other people. That was one of the best things. I really think the best thing, though, was that I had to learn to adapt to a culture that I knew nothing about and didn't really want to know anything about. But then, of course, I had to become a participant in their way of life and really try to live the way they lived. And I think that was the best part of my whole experience up there.
And the way they lived wasn't easy for anybody, even for them who lived that way their entire life. What was the most challenging part about it?
For me? Mm-hmm. For me? Well, first of all, it was cold weather in the winter. I never have liked the cold, even though I grew up in Canada. I never liked cold. And so that was extremely challenging. The all-day darkness was extremely challenging. I really didn't like it. But I think
I want to ask you about both of those points. What, you said cold. How cold are we? How cold was it?
Well, it could go to 35 or 45 below zero. When we went on a fateful camping trip, it was probably between 35 and 45 below zero. And when my husband had his accident, it was at least that cold.
Now, you almost died on that camping trip, your husband as well, both of you. What happened, and why would you back up? Why do you go on a camping trip when it's 45 below zero? What's wrong with you?
Well, I was not really prepared to go. I wondered why he wouldn't take me out to civilization. And then, of course, the answer came to me right away. If I got out to civilization, I probably wouldn't want to come back. But quite frankly, I don't think he was prepared for what happened. I certainly wasn't prepared for what happened. And it actually became a really fateful camping trip. We were very lucky not to have lost our lives when we were there.
Yeah, I mean, so what happened that you did almost, if you could describe what happened that you did almost lose your life? I mean, the book is called Journey Through Fire and Ice. There were two occasions where fire was as much a part of the story. This is one of those occasions.
Yes, well, we were... My husband wanted to go on a camping trip. He wanted to get me away from the village so we would have a little bit of privacy. So we went by our dog team up 30 miles upriver. It was really cold that day, and of course I didn't know anything about dog sledding. So I was freezing. I was sitting on the sled, absolutely frozen. And then I finally had to tell him that I could hardly feel my toes. And he said, well, you have to run. You can't just sit there. So I spent the rest of the trip trying to run as well with the dogs. And, of course, I found I patted the side of the dog. At any rate, we got up there, set up camp. And the first night, we didn't have our privacy because a visitor from the village came to stay with us. Same thing happened the second night. And the third night, I thought, oh, good. Now we're going to have some time by ourselves. Well, unfortunately, we had run into some campers that were further up the river because we got back to the tent after trying to ice fish, and I was way too cold to ice fish. So Tiger started, we were just getting warm when Tiger said, oh my God, the stove is, there's a plug in the stove and all the heat disappeared that was in our tent. He tried for about an hour to get the stove lit again, but of course he couldn't. He didn't know what was wrong with it. And so he said, well, I think what we'll do is build a little teepee outside of the tent. We brought another tent with us. So he kind of set up this little teepee. And he said to me, whatever you do, don't get near the teepee. And as he said that, he kicked his foot into the teepee. And, of course, the teepee burst into flames and our tent burst into flames. And there we were, 30 miles from the village, probably at 9 or 10 o'clock at night, with no tent and no way of keeping warm.
And?
Oh, and so then we had to head up to the, where we had met the campers. And so we both were trying to load up the sled, when unfortunately I twisted my knee. I hadn't done that since high school, but I knew that when I twisted my knee, I wasn't going to be able to walk for at least 2 days. So Tiger had to load me onto the dog, onto the sled, with a bunch of, with I guess our sleeping bags over top of me to keep me from getting hypothermia. We started up the trail, and we thought we heard dogs barking, and then we lost the trail again. Finally, we found the trail, and we ended up with probably about 6 or 7 natives, and they didn't even know we arrived. We kind of climbed over their bodies and found a way to, found a space to sleep and put our sleeping bags there. And unfortunately, I used to get sick to my stomach whenever I was really upset. I got upset, and I was sick for the next 2 days before,
you know,
we could...
Deanne, your idea of fun is a little different than mine. How does one dress for 40 below zero with wind chills that are twice that cold? What do you wear?
Well, I remember I had at least 2 sweaters on and long underwear, 2 or 3 pairs of socks. You have to be careful, of course, not to let your socks, you know, not to let your feet be confined by the mucklocks, because otherwise your feet will freeze. It's like
confined by the what?
Well, you don't want your socks. It's like wearing a pair of shoes that are too tight. If you wear too many pairs of socks, then your mucklocks would be too tight.
Your what would be
so
too tight? You're assuming we know words in Chicago, even where it's cold. We don't. Your mucklocks, is that what you said?
Mucklocks are made by the Inuits. The women make them out of seal skin on the bottom, and they're usually fur-lined, and they're waterproof, and they go up to your knees. So they're kind of like a rubber boot, but not exactly like a rubber boot. But they're, and of course, they're supposed to keep you warm in the winter. But if you have more than a couple of socks on, the same way as if you had your snow boots on, the snow boots would get too tight, and then it would defeat the purpose of having an extra pair of socks on there, in there.
What did you eat while you were there?
When we were camping?
No, not necessarily camping, but on a day-to-day basis.
Oh, on a day-to-day basis, we did eat a lot of native food. We ate Arctic char, which I'm sure everybody now is familiar with. But, of course, ours was wild Arctic char. We caught it upriver, or my husband went up to a fish camp, and they would get fish from the net, and they'd have thousands of fish in the net. But at any rate, we ate Arctic char. We ate caribou meat. We ate greens like the natives did. We ate berries. But we did have a lot of canned food, and we had spaghetti. I learned to cook tuna fish 1,000 different ways, I think. And I made my own bread, unlike the natives, because most of them, we all could buy bread at the store, but I knew that my bread was going to be better than the store bread. So I made my own bread. And of course, I guess the one thing that everybody is going to die when they hear, we had seal liver. And honestly, if you like liver, which most people don't, seal liver is better than calf's liver.
And of course, your husband was right out there with the Inuits hunting all these animals.
Oh, yes, yeah. he did.
Yeah.
And he would go out a lot at night. He'd go out sail hunting with the men during the midnight sun. And then after that came beluga hunting. And he went out beluga hunting. And they actually were hunting with rifles and with harp guns. And at that time, the belugas that they got were harpooned. They weren't killed by their rifles. And so we did eat what was called muktuk, which is the fat of the beluga. And most of the people up there stored it in seal oil or I guess in rendered muktuk oil, and it was considered a very big delicacy.
How did you stay warm inside the house if there was no electric heat?
Well, our oil stove was supposed to heat the house. And obviously, you're going to dress for it. You're going to put on two or three sweaters, two or three pairs of socks, and your long underwear. And I spent a lot of time knitting, and I knit a couple of really heavy sweaters for myself so that I knew that they would keep me warm. And, we learn to adapt. Everybody learns to adapt when they have to.
Are you sorry you had this experience?
You mean everybody's asked me that. I'm sorry that my husband was in such a bad accident.
Hold on a second. We didn't get to that bad accident. So we're running out of time here, and that's okay. Because I'm doing that kind of on purpose, Deanne. I'm selling books for you. The name of the book is Journey Through, she likes that, Journey Through Fire and Ice, Shattered Dreams Above the Arctic Circle, Fire and Ice. We spoke of one of the fires. You escaped undaunted from that fire, but your husband didn't escape from the other fire, which is what you refer to, I think, when you say accident. But you can read about it in the book, Journey Through Fire and Ice. Deanne Birch, I guess compared to Chicago, it's nothing. You know what cold really is.